Hello and happy February. Welcome back to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon. This is Monica, your host, and this is the last episode that I'm going to be doing solo for a little bit starting next week. We've got a mini series coming up with my friend Katie co-hosting, and we'll take you through Lent through the Song of Songs. So this is the last one where it's just me, and I wanted to talk a little bit about highlighting in your Bible, which I have found to be an immensely helpful tool in getting familiar with my Bible and getting to know my Bible. So, I don't know what you think about highlighting your Bible. I'm not sure if you've ever tried it before, if you're somebody who loves to put that pen to paper and mark it up, or if you're somebody who kind of likes it to be clean and beautiful and neat. But I'm going to advocate today for if you've never tried it, get your hands on a Bible that you'd feel comfortable marking up and highlighting in particular. I mean, I love a good writing with pencil in the margins too and underlining, but I'm going to suggest to you two different ways to highlight so that the color actually sticks out on the page for a specific purpose. Okay, this is from my experience, two different ways to kind of get into first the plot of the Bible and second kind of God's promises and kind of places in the Bible that you're going to return to again and again, almost like using a reference book, right? So I got into highlighting the Bible only this past year, 2025. It had never occurred to me to highlight the plot of the Bible before. Okay, but if you kind of get more serious in studying the Old Testament in particular, because there's so many books in a row, narrative books that tell the plot of the Bible, it's really helpful to, when you're flipping through a narrative book, to be able to identify the most important parts and to find the story you're looking for. When I used to teach the Bible, so I taught the Bible to ninth graders at a Catholic school for 2 years. Even then, when I was like in the Bible every day teaching it, I had to like make notes and say, it's in Genesis 15:1. This is the covenant with Abraham. I had to write down exactly where it was because if I open up Genesis, I really didn't know where I was going within that book. I'd have to flip through and find the headings, and then under the headings, you have to kind of read to actually find the plot points. If I was having my students read aloud in class, I'd be like, okay, start at verse, let me see, start at verse, because it's hard. There's so much text in the Bible. And obviously, the whole thing is important. The whole thing is the inspired word of God. But if you're trying to understand the chronological story, the plot, it is really helpful, in my opinion, to just highlight the most important things. You don't even have to highlight the whole verse. You highlight like the action sentence and then keep moving. So that's part of what I do in my Old Testament Bible course is I have like a highlight guide per book where it's literally like an audio of me saying, Genesis 1, highlight verse 1, skip verse 2, highlight verse 3, highlight part of verse 4. It's walking you through how to highlight in the way that I have chosen to do it. Now, you can do this yourself, and I really do encourage you to do it yourself. Like, open up any of those narrative books. There's 14 narrative books that tell the plot, and read. And anything that feels like this is a plot point, this is important, this is like not a description of the person or a description of, a random side thing, this is like moving the plot forward, highlight that. I like to highlight it in yellow. And then I like to highlight anything that catches my interest in blue. So I've got, any place I open in the Old Testament, I'm like, okay, yellow, this is important. Significant event. That way, also, when I'm talking about the Bible and I want to open it up and find an event quickly, I can open up, this book of Samuel that's full of so many different characters and stuff. And I'm like, okay, here's David. Here's him bringing the ark, whatever. Okay, here's the coronation of Solomon. It's all highlighted, the most important parts, right? So I think it's fun. I think it's exciting to kind of know your Old Testament well enough. The plot of the New Testament, of course, is a little bit harder to highlight, only because the four gospels all tell the same story. So you have to kind of pick and choose. You could highlight all four of them, right? Pick and choose which one of those gospels you're going to really use as the highlighting book. I think I'm advocating for Luke at this point, though, to be honest, I haven't quite decided. Luke and Matthew both tell pretty much the most thorough chronological stories of Jesus's life. But it's hard in the Gospels because they're so much more detailed than the older stories because they tell 3 years of Jesus's life really intensely, as opposed to the Old Testament books tell a whole lifespan of a person. It is hard to distinguish in the New Testament really things that you shouldn't highlight because everything feels like it's highlight worthy, So, anyways, I really recommend this for the Old Testament because it makes it so much less intimidating. That's the biggest thing I think that we get stuck in the Old Testament. We're like, there's so many names, so many characters, so many places, so many things to remember. So, one step towards that is take out your highlighter and get those plot points popping out of the page at you so you are familiar with them. And that way you can see when you're reading through the Bible to highlight it, you're also seeing chronologically, oh, this story came before this story came next. Oh, and this is how they got to Egypt, and this is what happened next, you know? So that is one way, and I wanted to kind of give you a little peek into the Old Testament course through a highlighting guide. So in the show notes here, if you're interested, you're like, I would like to highlight the plot of my Bible, check out my Genesis recording. It is 50 chapters, okay? It's long. Genesis is a long book, so there's a lot to it, but if you, you know, get yourself, you know, a cup of coffee, sit down for like 20 minutes, take your Bible, take a highlighter, and just page through and follow my voice recording, and you like it, you might think, okay, this is something I want to do. The Old Testament course might be really appealing to you, or even just your own DIY adventure. And the books that I would recommend you doing that is, like I said before, the narrative books. You can Google what these books are, but essentially it's Genesis, Exodus. You're going to skip Leviticus, you're going to do Numbers, you're going to skip Deuteronomy, you're going to do Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, you're going to skip Chronicles, you're going to do Ezra and Nehemiah and the first book of Maccabees, and those should be the books that have the plot guiding. You can also do like books that stand alone, like Tobit and Judith. Those books are awesome. Those books have their own plot, but they don't really contribute to the plot of salvation history. They're kind of a side story. So for example, I have the book of Judith highlighted just to see the plot, but it's not the same thing as the plot of the whole Bible, if that makes sense. Okay, the second way I like to highlight is I like to highlight, and I'm very blessed that I have two different Bibles here, okay? So the one that I use for the plot and for teaching is the Ascension Bible, because it's got just the best graphics. It's got these timelines, and it's got, you know, key points that it points out. It's great. But the one that I use for my own prayer, and intercession specifically, I marked up with a bunch of tabs on the side, and the tabs are color-coded to a theme. So I've got, like, you know, red and pink and blue and whatever, and on that page where I put a pink tab, I'll highlight the verse that I want in pink so that everything's kind of matchy-matchy, you know? So I decided to do this based on promises of God and based on lumping those promises into themes. So I've got a whole theme that's like, God is provider. And I decided to choose that as like a tan. So the tab is tan on every single page. When you go to that page, that Bible verse about God being a provider, that's tan, so your eye is drawn to it. And, you know, I've got another tab that's about sadness or sorrow or comfort, God helping the brokenhearted, that's blue. When you flip to that tab, that page, you get a blue highlighted verse. I think it's really helpful. It's almost like making the Bible a reference book or an index, which is like, oh, that's, I mean, it's obviously a book of prayer. It's a book of God's words. It's so much more than that. But I find it really helpful because a lot of times I find myself feeling like, oh, I'm feeling kind of down in the dumps, whatever. I'll pray. But I don't necessarily have the tools or the knowledge of where to go in scripture. And now I do. I literally can say, I'm feeling really like sad. I'm going to flip to any of these blue tabs and just hear these words from God that are specifically about sadness and sorrow and God comforting the brokenhearted. And any number of these, like I've got like probably 17 verses highlighted that are blue. Any one of those can be really comforting. It's like, to me, it just feels like using the tool of scripture better, like putting it in an accessible place that's already marked up, that you've already done the work, so that in a moment of need, you can actually use it. It's also better for scripture memorization. You can commit these verses to memory, right? So anyways, I love highlighting. I've got a whole prayer companion on that if that interests you as well. Or you can do the same thing, DIY it, go through any verse that sticks out to you that is, you know, about a particular theme, about the love of God, the romance of God, the tender love of God. That's one of my themes. God's mercy, that's one of my themes. Your identity, God's identity, who he says he is. All of these things are things that I want to commit to memory and return to. I want to have like a million Bible verses in my heart and in my mind so that if I ever come across a circumstance, which often happens in life where you suffer, where I'm doubting, where I'm like, oh, I don't know if God has my best interest in mind. Oh, but I know, and I've committed to memory, and I've been saying these to myself, and repeating them to myself, and revisiting them in scripture, like 20 different examples of how God will provide, and how God does love me, and how God is my father, and how, you know, it's like, we have to kind of fill our heart and fill our mind with truth, because out of, you know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So that's what we're going to speak, as well as our life is going to be full of suffering. Our life is going to be full of doubt. And if we're not like fortifying ourselves with the truth not just like generic truth, God loves me, that is true, but like specific things that God has said, if we don't know particular words that God has said to us, then it's going to be so much easier to be shaken, right? If we're fortified and we're like, no, I've got like 25 anchors in the ground that I have dug in there and put in there, that when I'm going to get blown over, I'm okay because I'm rooted in God's word, because I actually spend time there and I commit it to memory and I practice it, you know? My idea, which I haven't quite gotten into my daily routine yet, is to pray and intercede for my daughter with these scripture passages, like kind of on a routine, right? Like on Monday, I pray the identity verses over her. And on Tuesday, I pray the brokenhearted verses over her. You know, I don't do that quite yet, but that it can become an easier practice in that way if you've got them all marked up. So anyways, I love it. I feel very free. I will say the tabs kind of get in the way if you're using that Bible to daily pray. So I'm lucky. I've got three Bibles, okay? So I've got my plot Bible. I've got this reference Bible almost. And then I've got a Bible that's like marked up, scuffed up. The tape is falling off of it. And that's the Bible I take to daily prayer, because that's the Bible that I feel a little bit more comfortable like marking up more. And if in daily prayer, I feel like, oh my gosh, I've got a new verse to add to my reference Bible over there, I'll go over and I'll highlight it. Anyways, I love it. So as you can probably tell, I'm a bit of a systems girl. I like to have things organized in a certain way. I like to have things easy to come back to, you know, whatever. But I just think if you've never highlighted your Bible, if you're considering getting further into the word and trying to understand it, I say start here. Start with the plot and start with highlighting God's promises to you, God's words to you. And personally, I have a couple Bible verses, probably the same for you, that are like more dear to me, that I feel like God has spoken to me particularly. Like I'll read a verse and be like, that is for my heart. I'll actually mark those in a separate way. You know, the categories are off to the side, all the tabs and their colors, and I'll just mark that tab upright on the top of my Bible. So it's like, these are the personal words from God to Monica that are like really specific and really dear to me. I return to those again and again. Those are the ones I most have in memory. And those are the ones that first come to my heart when you know, I close my eyes and I open my heart and I say, come Holy Spirit, like, and I put myself in a position of prayer. Those are the verses that are most in my heart. And I hear God's voice most through them, right? So anyways, you can figure out your own tabbing system. You can follow mine. I'll get things linked in the show notes if that's of interest to you. But right now I'm going to pivot into actually teaching you or walking through highlighting one particular book, The Song of Songs. If you've been listening for the past couple weeks, I've been kind of on-ramping you, telling you the Song of Songs miniseries is coming. Next week, I'm going to bring on Katie and we're going to do our actual like introduction to the book of Song of Songs. But right now, just to kind of get you prepped, I'm going to teach you how to highlight in your own Bible the Song of Songs. Now, the Song of Songs is not a plot book. It's a poem book. So there is no specific plot that, you know, moves forward the plot of the Bible. But within the book, which is only 8 chapters, it's very short, it's poetry, there are different narrators. The bridegroom speaks, the bride speaks, and a chorus of women speak. And if you don't know who's speaking, it is a lot harder to understand this book. So do your, your prep work, prep your book, and highlight if you want. I like to do it in pink for the girl, in blue for the boy, in yellow for the chorus. You can pick your own colors. And that way it pops out on the page when you're reading a verse, you know who's speaking. Because in the Christian tradition, we put ourselves in the position of the bride and Jesus in the position of the bridegroom. We'll talk about that more next week, why we have the audacity to do that. But because we do that, it is important to know if this is our heart speaking to God or God speaking to us, right? Makes a big difference. So get your highlighters and we're just going to walk through. I'm just going to tell you verse by verse. Are you ready? Now, disclaimer, this is from the USCCB website. This is the little packet we're going to be using. But, you know, there might be, I'm not aware, but there might be some debate or some like, I don't know who actually says this. So if you run into in your own Bible a claim that this line is said by actually the bridegroom or the chorus, you know, that very well may be. I'm just following the USCCB. That's the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops. And I'm taking it from them. Okay. So anyways, starting at the first line, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. We're not going to highlight that. That is a title. Starting at verse 2 through 7 are all pink. Now, you do not have to highlight all the words horizontally. You can just draw a vertical line down the margin, you know, to show. But if you want, whatever you're doing here, verses 2 through 7, that is pink. That's the woman speaking. Verses 8 through 11, that's the man speaking, the bridegroom. 8 through 11. 12 through 14 is pink again. That is our bride speaking. 12 through 14. Verse 15, the bridegroom comes back. 15 is blue. 16 is pink. And 17 is blue. Okay, see how they go back and forth? They're actually having a conversation. It's kind of fun. Chapter 2. Feel free, of course, to pause me as you need here as I go back and forth. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1 is pink. She starts off. Verse 1 is pink. The girl is speaking. Verse 2 is the man. Blue. Then verse 3, it's back to the woman. Pink. The woman speaks from verse 3 to verse 6. So 3, 4, 5, 6, that is all pink. Then we get our first verse of the chorus. Chorus speaks at verse 7. Verse 7, I put that in yellow. Then the woman is back, pink, in verses 8 and 9. And then halfway through verse 10, it switches. But the first part of verse 10 that says, my lover speaks and says to me, that is the woman. And then it transitions over to blue halfway through the verse 10, starting with the word, arise, my friend. That is blue. So it's blue for the half of verse 10 all the way through verse 15. Okay, 15. Verse 16 is pink. Verse 17 is pink. And that's the end of chapter 2. How we doing? You doing okay? All right, chapter 3. Chapter 3 is mostly pink and chorus. Just going to warn you. Pink starting at verse 1 through 4. 1 through 4 is the bride. Verse 5 is, oh, it's actually pink as well. And then verse 6 through the end, 6 through 11, is yellow. That's the chorus. Chapter 4 is an easy one. It is all blue. At least all up till the very, very end. So verses 1 through 15 is all blue. This is the bridegroom speaking about the bride. And she just says one little thing at the end, starting at verse 16. 16 is the bridegroom. Sorry, the bride is pink. Okay, chapter 5. Chapter 5 is a little bit more back and forth again. It starts with the bridegroom. Starts with blue. Verse 1 is blue. Verses 2 through 8 are pink. 2 through 8 are pink. That's the bride. It's funny because you say bride and bridegroom, so it's like hard to remember the difference. Okay, verse 9 is the chorus, yellow. Verse 9, starting with how does your lover differ? And then pink, verse 10 through 16. 10 through 16, my lover is radiant and ruddy. That is starting verse 10 through the end. All pink, all bright. Chapter 6. Chapter 6 starts with the chorus. Verse 1, it's in yellow. That's the chorus. Verses 2 and 3 are the bride, pink. And then pretty much the groom finishes it off. From 4 through 9 is blue. That's the groom. Verse 10 is the chorus. Who is this that comes forth like the dawn? And then verse 11 and 12 is the bride in pink. Okay, chapter 7. Pretty straightforward. Verse 1, just the first half of verse 1 is the chorus. Turn, O Shulamite. Turn, that we may gaze upon you. And then the woman picks up just at the second half of verse 1 with pink. How can you gaze upon the Shulamite as the dance of the two camps? And then it's really the bridegroom for a long time. Verses 2 through 10, the first half of 10. 2 through the first half of 10 is blue, the bridegroom. Halfway through 10, the bride picks up with pink. And she says, that flows down smoothly for my lover, gliding over my lips and teeth. It's like she finishes his sentence there, and she finishes up the entire chapter. So from half of verse 10 all the way down to verse 14, that is all the woman. And finally, we've got chapter 8. So chapter 8 starts at verse 1, of course, with the woman, pink, from 1 to 4. 1 to 4 is the bride in pink. Then verse 5 is split between the chorus and the woman. So verse 5, the first part, who is coming from the desert? leaning upon her lover. That's the chorus. And then the woman picks up again, beneath the apple tree, I awakened you. And the woman goes from halfway through verse 5 all the way through verse 10. Bridegroom comes in with blue, verses 11 through 13. And verse 14 concludes with the bride. Now, I should have said this earlier, but some Bibles break up different verses. And so if you're in a Bible that you don't actually have like a verse one or a verse, you know, I guess near the end, the verses might be tricky. I would just refer you to using the little printout that I've got linked in the show notes. And that'll be linked in these show notes and in the rest throughout the course of the mini-series, because this is using the USCCB, like I said, we're just decided to use those. That's the NAB version of the Bible. So if you're using like a different version, they might be totally amazing versions. They might just have different chapter breakdowns and verse breakdowns. So if that gets a little confusing, always refer back to just NAB. That's kind of what we're using for the purpose of this. But hopefully it's all easily translatable, and hopefully seeing who's speaking really can help to understand a little bit more about the Song of Songs. So we're excited to get into it. I'm excited. I encourage you, yeah, this is a year to get into your Bible. Get in there, get highlighting, get comfortable, get familiar. And if you want to learn more about the Song of Songs, I'll see you next week. Bye.